Okay. Welcome back. So we are still in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. And we are slowly making our way through this famous story of David and Goliath, David and Goliath. And last week we reached Pasuk Chaf, I believe. Or around there. So we're going to start from Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and basically what we've seen so far is that Goliath has challenged the Pushtim are on the brink of war with the Jewish people, with Israel, and Goliath, this giant of a man, has challenged them that, you know, I'll have a one-on-one duel, just send someone out and let me fight him, and that should determine the fate or the decision for this war. And then the story breaks away a little bit to David, and he's at home still, and basically his father loads him up with a bunch of, you know, some food and stuff to bring to his brothers. David's older brothers are at the battlefield, part of the Jewish army, and David travels there. So let's start from Chaf Aleph, and it says, which is verse 21, Vatayroch Yisrael uplishtim ma'aracha likras ma'aracha. And and Israel arranged, as well as the Plishtim, a ma'aracha is like an army, but in an arranged army. Is there a better word for it? What do they have? A battalion? I think a battalion is like an official Roman word for a certain number of troops, but we could use that word. They arrange themselves for war, basically.
Formation,
that's a good word. A battalion, what?
Battalion facing the battalion.
Bayitosh David esakelim me'olav. And David removed the kelim from himself, the vessels, the items that he had brought. Al yad shomer ha'kelim. He left them with the one who guards the stuff, the vessels, people's things. Vayarotz ha'ma'aracha, and he ran to the battalions or the formations. Vayavo, and he came. Vayisha le'echad l'shalom, and he asked, he inquired about how his brothers were doing. So this was one of the assignments, actually, that his father had given him, was to find out how your brothers are doing and come back and let me know how they're doing. The Hu Medaber Imam, and he was in the middle of speaking with the people. Vine Ish HaBeinayim Ole, and behold, this man, which we referred to before as Ish HaBeinayim, the man who stood between Oleh, he came up. Goliath HaPlishti Shemo, his name was Goliath the Plishti Mima'archos. We'll see, it's written Maravos, but it's spelled, it's read Maravos Plishtim. He was from the battalions of the Plishtim. Vayidaber kadvarim ha'ela, and he spoke the same things that he had been speaking previously. Vayishma David, and David heard. So as the Pasuk described earlier, last week at the end, we talked about it, that Goliath would come out every day, in the morning and in the evening, and basically call out catcalls and challenge the people and curse them. And so, like any other day, he had done it for 40 days straight. He came back out again, but now the difference is that David is actually here now. And he spoke, right, the same types of calls that he had made previously. No, there's no fighting yet. Everybody's just sort of standing back. Now, the Malbim points out that there were two differences in the way it's described here to the way it's described earlier. So he says that originally in Pasuk Daled, which is the first time we see a description like this. So if you go back to Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, it says, Vayetze ish ha-beinayim imachanos plishtim. And he went out from the encampment. So the first difference he points out is that there it says, Vayetze, he went out. And here it says that he was ole, he went up. And the difference, says the Malbim, was that originally he wasn't as confident as he is now. Now he's increased his taunting. He comes closer to the Jewish armies. He's actually will go up to the hill or the mountain upon which the Jewish army waited. That's the first difference. And secondly, it says that he would go out from the machanos. Back in Dalet, it says he would go out from the encampment, and here it says he would go out from the ma'arachos, from the formation, from the battalion, and that difference, again, is just that shows just the advancement of the Plishti army itself, that originally, when he first came out, they were just an encampment, but now they're arranged for battle and ready to strike. The Chol Ish Yisrael, Pasuk Chav Dalet, and all the Jewish men, Birosem Esal Ish, when they would see the man, when they would see Goliath, Vayonusu Mipanav, they would run away, Vayiru Meod, and they were very scared. So he would come up close to the Jewish armies, and they would flee, they would retreat.
He didn't mention why it was
written one way. Oh, sorry. So I believe that the Gemara says, if it's on this word, unless I'm mixing up with the previous one. Who says something? Oh, sorry, right. So basically, right. The Kri refers to the way it's, sorry, the Ksiv, the way it's written is like Me'aros, which are caves. And the way it's read is Marchos, which is battalions. Now,
Yitzhak would have been stronger and more active. Yitzhak would have had to operate, which again, is not surprising for those of us, because that, as we discussed, that's certainly how the knowledge stood in the story, certainly now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the significance is. I think actually here the Radak says that Ma'ara here apparently doesn't have to only mean cave. Usually it means cave, but it can also mean just like a plain.
Rashi
says something. Thank you. Okay, that right. That relates back to what we talked about another week, that it would have to do with the word Ma'ara, which is the act of a man going into a woman, and that would refer back to that idea that we talked about, that there were many men involved in his birth. So that would be the Gemara's more drushy approach on a pshat level. Radak is saying that it just means the plains of the Plishtim versus the Marchos. Right, and the Radak, it's sort of you're left with the question of what's the significance of that. Why do you need to hint to that it was from the open plain? And but read it as from the army is not. I don't have a good explanation.
For the modern printing press, is it literally never written the way that you say it, and how would they know to say it in one way?
It's a good question. Right, it wasn't written that way, and it's like
it's written that way, or is it?
No, right. Yeah, it's written right with the marvos and red marchos. So it's really. I mean, this isn't so uncommon. There are. Quite a number. We had one earlier in this parak, actually, where we had a kriyuk siv. And, the truth is that every single pronunciation of any word is all a tradition. Meaning there's no vowels in any printed, original Tanakh or Torah. And the way that any word is pronounced is really part of the tradition. So the idea that, you're right, this is a little bit more, because here we're actually adding in a letter, which isn't there.
Yeah, this is clearly a typo.
So that's
it's not a difference in pronunciation. This is a scribal error. This is not a variation.
So others will say that it's not a scribal error, but that it's hinting that they hint to two different ideas. Often the Radak will explain what they are and why one is written and one is and one is pronounced. Here he doesn't have, I don't see such an elaborate explanation to explain it. Right, the Gemara is trying to explain, and the Gemara is saying that it's because it's hinting to this idea that his mother was taken by many men, and that's what the word ma'ara, which can mean to like dig into, that's a word that the Gemara uses for that action is ha'ara. That would be the Gemara is saying it's hinting to, it doesn't want to say explicitly, but again, it's kind of out of place, it's kind of random to understand it that way. So, you know, different ways that it could be understood. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vayomer Ish Yisrael. And the men of Israel said, Harayisem Ha'isha Ola Hazeh. Have you seen this man, this Goliath, who's come up? Ki Lecharef Es Yisrael Ola. He has gone up to blaspheme, to curse the insult the Jewish people. Not blaspheme, really, that's legadeh. Lecharef is like to insult and to curse the Jewish people. V'haya ha'ish asher ya'akenu. And by the way, they say the person who will strike him, yashrenu hamelech osher gadol. The king will make him very rich. The king has promised that if someone can kill Goliath, he'll make him very rich. V'esbito yitenlo. And he'll give him his daughter as a wife. The ace base of Yase Chafshi the Israel, and his family, the family of the man who kills him, Hashem will make it Chafshi the Israel, will make it free amongst Israel. What does that mean? So Rashi learns that it means that they'll be exempt from certain laws. And similarly, the other way to interpret it, which is just David says, it means that they won't have to work on behalf of the king. I guess there were certain requirements of as a tax or certain work that people would have to do, and that they would be exempt. So either they're free from certain laws of the king or just certain obligations to the king. That was the reward. So three parts of the reward. First of all, the king would make him very rich. Secondly, he would give him his daughter as a wife, and third, he would somehow free up the family from obligations to the king. Vayomer David el ha'anoshim ha'omdim imo lemor. And David, upon hearing this, said to the men who were standing with him, Ma yase la'ish asher yakes ha'plishti halaz. What should be done for the man who strikes this plishti, behesir cherpa me'al Yisrael, and removes this insult from upon Israel, kimia plishti ha'arel hazeh. Because who is this plishti, this uncircumcised plishti, this arel? Ki cherev marachos elokim chayim, that he curses the armies of elokim chayim, the living God. Who is he? Who does he think he is? So,
what's with the uncircumcised as an insult? Is that like a standard thing you see in a Navi?
It is pretty common. I saw pointed out that it's actually most often used to reference the Plishtim. And could be that whoever I saw had something more to say about why, but that it's an insult that's specially used against the Plishtim.
Well, they were Indo-Europeans.
Okay.
So they didn't have the Semitic custom of circumcision. Oh,
so that may explain it.
I mean, they were Greeks.
Right. It just means this one. This one. Like Zeh. It's similar to...
And also in the previous pasuk, is there any reason why they just say Hamelach instead of like Hamelach Shaul or something like that? Because like, is it 100% sure it's Shaul in that case?
As opposed to... What's the other option?
I mean, I don't know. Okay. I mean, maybe Hashem, like, right. In terms of not literally giving his daughter, but just trying to think of why it wouldn't explicitly say Shaul.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about it. Okay, so what's David saying here? He says, what should be done for the man? So first of all, it sounds like he just heard it, and now he's asking about it. So either he didn't hear, which... it's strange that it said it before he heard it, you know, just have him ask and then tell us what it is, rather than tell us what it is, then have him ask. And secondly, he kind of switches gears in the middle. He says, you know, what's the reward for the man who does this? Because this man really deserves a kicking, right? A beating. You know, he's been insulting the Jewish people. So why is he asking about a reward if he's saying, anyways, the man deserves it and somebody should just do it without, you know, seemingly without any promise of any reward? So the Malbim says that's exactly what he was saying. The Malbim says that he was asking, he was being matmiya, he was bewildered by what was going on here. He says that, you know, people are saying that you should do this because you're going to be rewarded, you'll get rich, you'll get the king's daughter. David answered that this is a great act that should be done on its own, to take revenge for Hashem. And that's much more valuable than anything that the king can promise us. And that itself is the reward, to be the one to bring about the revenge for Hashem and for his people. And he says you can't imagine that something like this should need a promise of a reward. And that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. What's going to be? And it's in Gemara terms, it's bitmia. It's in a bewildered state. It's rhetorical. What should be done for the man who kills him? I don't understand what you're talking about. Is it possible that a person needs to be rewarded for this action? Who is this plishti? This uncircumcised plishti? Anybody who has a heart that has kanayus, that's zealous on behalf of Hashem should step up and try to fight this man. Notwithstanding the reward promised. Yeah.
David is only telling you what happened to standing with him previously. You know, the people with him may have been just the guys taking care of the baggage, the people in the back, other Israelites.
Right.
But the battalions are the ones that are speaking before.
They're the ones what?
They're the ones that are speaking before about it. Maybe he didn't hear the other people.
Wait, so what are... And therefore what?
Well, that may be a simple explanation of why he seems to be what is the reward. Because, you know, they're all talking, he's back with the baggage guys or whatever. He just put the people who are with him.
Right, it's possible. It's possible, but there's two problems with that. One is that, how do you figure into the second part of the pasuk? How do you fit those two things together where he says, because who is this plishti? It's just strange to say, you know, what's the reward for this? Because this man deserves a beating. Like, so, if he deserves it, so why are you asking about the reward? And secondly, it would just be strange for the pasuk to set it up that way, to first tell us the reward, then have David ask about it, and then it would kind of need to, the next pasuk, as we'll see, it's going to say, like, and they told him what they told him. So, what they had already said. So, it could just say it then. But it's possible. I'm sure there's another way that you could read these pasukim. So, pasuk chav zayin, vayomer lo ha'am, and the nation said to him, kadavar hazeh leimar, like this matter, ko yaseh li shashir yakenu, so should be done for the person who strikes him. Meaning, according to the Malbim, that they said, you're right. You're right that on its own, certainly, it's worthwhile, and the purpose of killing him is to take revenge and to for the insult that he's caused to Hashem and to Israel, and we don't really need any reward. But what we're just saying is that. That somebody who does this is not the reward for the action, but it will demonstrate that they are fit to receive great riches. I don't know about the riches, but at least receive the hand of the daughter of the king. Let me just see how he says it, because I'm getting eyes here. So make sure I say it right. So the Malbim says that. You're right, everybody should be willing to step up on their own without promise of reward. When we said that the person will receive riches and the daughter of the king, It's not a reward for the purpose for the purpose that was carried out, but rather it will be for the action itself. That a person who shows that kind of strength to kill such a man, besides for the benefits that he's going to bring to his nation, so he's fit to get the hand of the daughter of the king for being very strong, and he's fit for fame and fortune just because of his strength. That's what he says. That's what Malbim says. Vayishma Eliyav Achiv Hagadol V'Dabru Al Anashim. And Eliyav, the older brother of David, heard him speaking to the men. Vayichar Af Eliyav V'David. And Eliyav, his older brother, got very angry at him. Vayomer, and he said, Lama Ze Yorata, why have you come down here? V'amina Tashta Me'ata Tzona Heina Bamidbar. And remember, David had been shepherding his father's sheep, so Eliab's, and he was, because his brothers weren't there, so he had to cover. So he says, who did you leave the sheep? Who did you abandon the sheep in whose hands? Ani yodati es zedoncha, I know your intentions, ve'isroa levavecha, and the evil of your heart, he's very harsh, ki leman ra'os ha-milchama yarata. You came here to watch the battle. You just gave up your post of shepherding dad's sheep just to see a little bit of excitement. You know, they have those, I forgot what it's called, armies, and they have these shows where they have, like, jousting. I mean, nowadays they have these shows that you can go to. So, you're just coming here, you want to see a battle. That's what Eliyav accused him of. Now, remember, really the reason why David got here was to bring packages to Eliyav and his brothers from his father. So some of Arshim say he didn't know yet that that's why David was here, and that's why he was able to get angry at him. What are you doing here? You're abandoning your post. You're just coming for some excitement.
But what is Roa Levavecha?
The evil of your heart. Why is he so harsh on him?
But why? What's evil about what he's doing? That's what I'm trying to understand. It's not that it's harsh. It's like, what's evil about leaving the sheep and coming to watch? If that's what
I guess he's saying, it's irresponsible. That's what I mean by harsh. Like, it does, like, I don't. There's nothing right. There's nothing evil here. It's a very strong language. Like, you're deep down, you're a bad guy.
Is it implying because he's not? Because David was basically implying that he's ready to fight.
Good. So
doesn't make any sense that he's saying you came to watch the fighting.
Right. So we'll take that approach in a minute and try to fit that in. Some learn that way. Others learn. So some learn that he didn't know why he was there, and that's why he was upset at him for abandoning the sheep. Others make an inference from the word. Lama ze yarata, why have you this come down? And they learned that this, he means, why have you brought this down? And he was complaining that he didn't bring enough stuff. That he only brought whatever he brought, certain amount of food and whatever else he brought. And he was complaining, why have you come with only this? Right, but the last approach is what you're referencing, this idea, this possibility that it sounded like David, and this is what the Radak says, that it sounded like David was saying he's going to step up and fight the Plishti. And his older brother says, what are you doing? You know, that's crazy. And he gets very angry at him. And he sort of hides it in this accusation of, you know, you've abandoned the sheep and you're only coming to watch the battle. He doesn't really say it straight out. I'm not sure why. But that was really what was bothering him, was he sensed that David was planning to fight Goliath, and he did not think that that was a very good idea. The response, David says, Vayomer David, Me'asisi. David says, what have I done, Atta? What have I done now? Hello, Davarhu. It's just words. I haven't done anything. Why are you so angry at me? You think I'm going to fight him? Come on, I'm just talking. That's basically what he said to him. He said, Imdibarti lo asisi. If I spoke, well, I haven't acted. Don't worry about it. I'm just talking. I'm just talk. Now, we know it wasn't just talk, right? He's going to actually fight Golias, but he was trying to get his brother off his back. And so he says, I was just saying, yeah, I'm not really going to do it. That would be if you understand that that's what Eliyahu was worried about, was that he was planning to fight him. If you just learn that he was just upset that he was there, so David's just saying, like, what's the big deal? What have I done? Hello, Dover, who just, you know, so just nothing, it's nothing, nothing has happened, it's not a big deal. That would be his response. Pasuk Lamed, Vayisov me'etzlo el mul acher. And he turned away from him to a different direction. So he wanted to avoid his brother. He didn't want his brother stopping him from what he intended to do. So he went in a different direction. Vayomer kadavar hazeh. And he said the same thing. Meaning he made the same question. He said, as we said before, what... And this would also imply that he wasn't just... He wasn't just asking what the reward is. He knew what the reward was. But he said it again. He said, how can you need a reward for this? This plishti is insulting the Jewish armies and Hashem. And he made the same statement, Vayishivu ha'am davar kadavar harishon. And the nation answered him in the same way. The same way they said what the reward was. And according to the Malbim, they were really saying, you're right, it's not a reward. It's just, you know, sort of a consequence that if you, certainly the purpose, the reward is that, and everybody should be ready to do this because we're zealous on behalf of Hashem, although nobody else was actually willing to step up. But the reward is just a consequence of the actions of the person who does it. 20 is when you get married. Yeah, standard approach. Vayishamu hadivari mashir diber David. Vayagidu lifnei shaul vayikocheyo. And David's words were heard, and they told Shaul about it, and he took him. So word gets out, people are talking, this David is talking as if he's going to fight Goliath. So they tell Shaul about it, and Shaul wants to see him. They bring him before Shaul. The Malbim says that they also sensed something about him. That he had spirit, and that he really meant it. He was willing to do this. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayomer David al Shaul, al Yipo lev Adam alav. David says to Shaul, people's heart should not fall. People shouldn't be scared. Avdecha yelech. Your servant will go, I will go, Yilcham im haplishti hazeh, and I will fight against this plishti. Vayomer Shaul al David. And Shaul said to David, you can't go and fight against this plishti. Kinarata, you are a young lad. Vehu ish milchama min urav, and he has been a man of war since he's been young. This Golias is an accomplished warrior. He's the one who killed Chafni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli HaKohen. He's got experience. He's strong, and you are just a young man with little battle experience. How could you possibly defeat him? Right, Shaul is clearly looking at this in a practical, derech hateva, natural way, and saying it can't be done, you shouldn't fight him.
Where does it say that he killed Eliyahu's
son? Doesn't say explicitly anywhere. Rashi brings him from a medrash earlier on. I don't remember where the medrash derives it from. Vayomer David el Shaul, and David said to Shaul, Roeh haya avdecha le'aviv batzon. Your servant was a shepherd for his father, shepherding the sheep. Uba ha'ariv es hado. V'nasa se meha eder. And a lion And a bear came to the flock, and they removed a sheep from the flock. Now, was this one event where a lion and a bear came at the same time, or was this two events? So different Mepharshim take different sides. The Targum seems to imply that it was two different events. He says a lion came and even a bear came, two different events, and it seems maybe that this thing happened twice. And others learned, Radak, I believe, that no, it was one thing, which itself would be miraculous for a lion and a bear to come at the same time, would already kind of imply that there's a lesson, a message to be taken from this event. And what happened was it took the seh, took a sheep from the flock. Speaking of typos, so there was a version of the print that instead of saying seh, it said zeh. Vinasa zeh mehaeder. It took this. And that would fit in with the medrash. There's a medrash that David was wearing a vest or a coat, a shirt, that was made from the wool of that sheep that was taken. And he was saying, Nasa Zeh, they took this sheep that I'm wearing now, they took it from the flock. The Mincha Shai, who's the master of texts and nikudos and pronunciation and all of these things, that's what he does. He has a huge running commentary on I think all of Tanakh, or much of it, and he gets into all the nitty gritty, how you pronounce everything and where's the emphasis and what vowels and what letters, should it be Moe, should it be Chaser. So he says here that in some prints it says Zeh, the Tosu, it's a mistake, and all the old versions have Seh, etc. And you can see in Targum Yonasan that he clearly had Seh, that was a sheep, and he quotes other sources. So he doesn't like that version to have Seh. The Medrash, I don't think, explicitly says that it had that version. It just says this idea that he showed a sheep, and some of the Mepharshim just tie that together to that version of the print.
I think based on the wording, it's clear to me that it was two separate incidents. Because first it says, Gam et Ari.
Okay, so right, later, yeah.
And then later it says, Ari Umi Hador. So one is, I think the first time he was saying, like, at one time I killed a lion, one time I killed a bear. And he said, because I killed a lion and a bear.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I see it.
Could be. So what happened? The Yatsasi Acharav, and I went out after it, or them, the Kisiv, and I struck them, the Tzalti Mipiv, and I, or actually it, I went out after it, and I struck it, and I saved it from its mouth, Vayakam Alai, and it got up against me, Vechazakti Bizikano, and I grabbed its mane. This will be talking about the lion, the kisiv, and I struck it, the amitiv, and I killed it. Right, so first he just grabbed away, he hit it, he didn't kill it, he just hit it, grabbed the sheep away, tried to make a run for it, the lion chased after him, he turned and fought the lion, grabbed it by its mane, no weapon, and killed it that way. Struck it and killed it.
Struck it with what?
Struck it with what?
Probably a rock.
I don't think so. That you have with Shimshon. I think he struck it with his hand. I think that's going to be brought out. I'm pretty sure he just struck it with his hand.
He punched the lion to death.
Exactly. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good for a teenager.
Gamisari, that's what he's trying to say. Gamas Ari, Gamas Gama Dov, Hika Avdecha, both the lion and the bear, your servant hit. And that, right, so that could imply that it was two different events. There are midrashim here that Gam is a riboy, that it's coming to teach you even more, that it was more than one lion, it was more than one bear, an extra word. But either way, he had this, you know, really miraculous strength in defeating these animals. So he says, V'haya ha-plishti ha-arel ha-zeh ke-achad mehem. This plishti, this arel, this uncircumcised plishti is just like one of them. For he has insulted the battalions of the living God. And the Malbim says that, you know, I struck both a lion and a bear, even though they were two, and this plishti isn't as strong as even one of them. At most, he's like one of them. I struck two. And even if you tell me, yeah, but there's a difference. He's a person. He's smart. He's a human. It's totally different. So, more than an animal. So to that he said, no. He's no longer a person. If he's insulted the battalions of Elohim Chaim, of the living God. So he's lost his madriga. He's lost his status as a person. And he's like an animal. All his spirituality, all his sense has left him. He's like just like a body, just an animal. And just as I was able to defeat the lion and the bear, so too I'll be able to defeat this push. That was David's convincing argument to Shaul to let him fight. I defeated a lion and a bear. So too I can defeat this plishti.
Is there any evidence or could it have been the lion just to try to kind of show to let him fight?
So there doesn't seem to be any evidence. If you understand that he was wearing the sheepskin that he saved. Again, it could have been a different sheepskin. It's not really the strongest evidence to hold up in court.
Right.
But he may have been trying to show him, you know, look, this is true. We did have a suggestion earlier on, if you remember. So when Shaul is looking for someone to come cheer him up, so they describe David in a number of ways, including, you know, he's a fighter and this and that. And we posed the question that I think it was Doeg who was speaking there, at least according to the Gemara. So we said, how do they know that he was, you know, strong? How do they know that about David? You know, how do they even know that David exists? He lives in some town, Beis Lechem. How do they know about him? So one answer that we said, I don't remember who said it, but someone suggested it's because of this event, that it was known that this had happened. Doeg knew about it, and he was able to report it to them, you know, and recommend David as why that was important. We talked about then, but that was part of the description of David. It was known that he was strong, etc. So it may have been a famous Misa, famous story, and David's the one who's, oh, by the way, Shaul, that was me. You know that story you saw on the news, you heard about it, that was me. Vayomer David, and David said, Hashem, asher hitzivani miyad ha'ari u'miyad adov, Hashem, who saved me from the lion and from the bear, hu yatzilenu miyad ha'plishti hazeh, He will save me from this plishti. Vayomer Shaul el David leich, and Shaul said to David, go. Hashem yia imach, and Hashem will be with you. So David, he understood, right? He understood that it wasn't by the might of his hand that he had defeated this this lion and this bear, but rather was Hashem's help. And he trusted that just as Hashem helped me then, he can help me here. Rashi says that it was because of that event that he said, I know that it wasn't for nothing that Hashem had this event play out, that a lion and a bear attacked and I was able to fight them. It wasn't for nothing. It was to bring to for a message. It was to teach me that I'm going to have a similar situation to save Israel, and I should rely on my strength, and I should get involved. Rashi says that this is one of two people that Hashem gave a, you know, put, made an event for that should teach them to step up at a later time. The other one, he says, was Mordechai. That Mordechai said that it wasn't for nothing that really Esther was taking, you know, into the king's palace. Rather, it was for a purpose. It was for Asidahi Lamod Yisrael Biyom Tzaretz, so that she will be in the right position to step up for the Jewish people in a time of difficulty. Because that's a little bit different. Rashi compares the two. But it's, I guess the similarity is they're both interpreting an earlier action and saying, this didn't happen for nothing. There's a message that I'm supposed to take from it and apply it. So, Vayomer Shaul Adavrei, the pasuk concludes, and Shaul said to David, Leich, you should go, Vashem Yia Imach, and Hashem will be with you. Just one halachic idea that's related to this story. So we sort of see from here that anything is possible, right? A person can defeat a lion. So does that have any halachic implication in terms of a person's responsibility in guarding? So in general, if you are guarding someone's flock, let's say, you are entrusted to guard it. So if an animal comes, a lion, it would be considered an ones. It wouldn't be your responsibility. You're as a guard, even if you're paid, you're exempt from ones. You're exempt if something happens to that which you're guarding that's out of your control. So you're exempt from paying. And that would be true certainly for this type of event, like a lion or a bear coming and taking something from the flock. However, what happens if you are not there? You abandon the flock before the animal comes. So that's a case of what we would call tichilaso v'pshia v'sofa v'ones. At the beginning, you were lax, you were negligent, and in the end, an ones came about. So are you responsible for that? So it's actually a machlokus. It's a debate between two amorayim, whether... When certainly, generally, you're pater from onsim, you're exempt if something's beyond your control. But if you were negligent at the beginning, so then there is an opinion that even if an ones ends up happening, you will still be responsible because you were negligent originally. However, Tosfos says that opinion only holds that way if you can connect the negligence to the ones somehow. It's true in the end it was an ones, and Tosfos has a proof for this. But it's true in the end it was an ones, but that was somehow connected to your negligence. That's when you're responsible for tichilaso b'pshia. If the beginning was a pshia, and the beginning was negligent, and the end was out of your control, you'll still be responsible. So Tosis has a question on this idea, because the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, it says that if a person abandons their flock, goes into town, and a lion comes and tramples the flock, you're exempt. And the Gemara.
That's why the brother was upset, because he left the flock. Perhaps.
I mean, he was certainly. Yeah, worried about stuff like that happening. So Rabbah, one of the Amoraim there, says that that's talking about where you were negligent in going into town. It wasn't like a normal time to go. You were negligent. So Tosfos asks, this seems to be, it goes against my premise. Goes against my yesod, my foundational idea. I'm saying that it has to be connected. Sorry. The Gemara then asks, why are you exempt? Why are you exempt? It's the loss of a pshia of a sofa bonus. He was negligent. He went into town. It's true. But in the end, an onus happened. In the end, something out of his control happened. But according to the opinion that the loss of a pshia of a sofa bonus is responsible, so you should be responsible. That's what the Gemara asks. Now, Tosa says, what do you mean? Where's the connection? How do you connect one action to the other? So one of Tosa's answers is he says, either you could say, well, had you stayed, you may have moved the flock. You never know. And then the onus wouldn't have happened because the lion would have come and you wouldn't have been there. Or he says, it's possible that It's possible that if you were there, the lying never would have come. It would have seen you and stayed away. And thirdly, he says, or you never know, he says, oh, hayamakayim bay, or you could have fulfilled against the lion, gam esariv esadov hika avdecha. This quotes this pasuk that so your servant struck the lion and the bear, and so it's possible. And he's not saying you would normally be responsible. Normally, it would be considered an onus if you were there and the lion came. But if you were negligent and left, and then the lion came, so according to at least one opinion, you would still be held responsible. And we connect the fact that you weren't there to the lion successfully attacking the flock, because you never know. Had you been there, you may have been able to fight off the lion and the bear.
But would it normally be considered an onus?